Welcome to this week's episode of She Talks Tech podcast. My name is Vanessa Vallely and I'm the founder of We Are Tech Women. This week we are talking about male allyship and how it can accelerate the careers of women. We will be discussing why allyship is so important, what good looks like, and how we can all be allies to each other. With us today are Jitin Kachella, Andrew Earnshaw, James Edwards, and Claudia Pellegrino from PA Consulting. PA Consulting is a leading consultancy organisation that partner with market leaders, disruptors and innovators to move the world forward. They accelerate new growth ideas from concept through design and development to commercial success. They revitalise organisations, building the leadership, culture, systems and processes to make innovation a reality. So welcome to the She Talks Tech podcast, everyone. Let's start with a few quick intros and a little background. So firstly, I'm going to come to you, Jitin.
Vanessa, it's great to be talking to you today. I'm Jitin. I head up our digital business at PA, and I'm also one of the senior sponsors for our Women in Tech initiative.
Fantastic. And Andrew?
Hi, Vanessa. Yep, Andrew Earnshaw, a colleague of Jitin's, a partner in the business, and I lead a lot of our work in the healthcare sector.
Fantastic. And James?
Hi. Yes, I'm James Edwards. I'm one of the tech directors at PA, and I've been asked to be a male ally for the last year, and I'm really enjoying being invited along here.
Fantastic. And last but certainly not least, Claudia.
Hello, everyone. I'm Claudia. I am a senior consultant at PA and also I'm one of the co-leads of our Women in Tech initiative. So I'm very happy to be here.
Fantastic. So we're in for a really good conversation. So we're going to start off, obviously, we're talking about allyship. So first question, what does good male allyship look like? So first of all, I'm going to ask Jitin, thoughts around that?
So for me, I would say it's three things. Number one is getting stuck in and involved, helping to organise, turning up to events, engaging with your communities, sharing your technical skills and knowledge, and being accessible and available to help. The second point I'd make is coaching and mentoring. I personally coach and mentor several of our female colleagues, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. I'd encourage all of my male allies and colleagues to do the same. And it's much easier when you distribute the workload amongst your peers to do that and to scale the impact. And the third is about being an ambassador. Think about all the ways that you can be an ambassador in your everyday life. And that could be going and talking to a school, trying to tackle the issue very early on in people's lives, all the way through to just in your everyday life, thinking about all the ways in which you can make an impact.
Yeah. And I love that point that you make as well around kind of making sure that other people around you are allies as well. So being an ambassador for allyship as well. So that's really interesting. So Andrew?
It's about being open and really having that openness and idea of being open about the way you approach it. So asking yourself, how can I make an impact and how can I help? Women. Also, it's about being proactive. They're having the ability to challenge behaviors, discriminating patterns when you see them, when they're happening, whether in the workplace or elsewhere, and being really willing and able to speak up and being an active advocate of the cause.
I think that's really important, the aspect of calling it out or, you know, calling on other individuals to say, well, that's not acceptable, or, you know, you could have stepped in and perhaps elevated that particular person's voice. So it's really interesting and, again, great that you guys are having that conversations with each other. So in terms of how you actually exhibit it, because it's all very well and good, we talk about allyship, you know, what that actually looks like, but how do you actually exhibit it so that it creates an impact? So Jitin, can you give me some examples?
So for me, Vanessa, I've been senior sponsor for our Women in Tech initiative for about 4 years now. When we first started out, it was a small coding course that we were running for a handful of females. And obviously we've scaled in a big way since then. I've worked really closely with the team over the last 4 years to look at ways in which we can scale the work that we're doing, looking at ways in which we can secure investment, bring in HR, marketing and other functions, and also equally being passionate about the cause, promoting and raising awareness of what we do day in, day out. I mentioned that I mentor and coach a lot of our female colleagues, and I encourage my male colleagues to do the same. And it's just about being accessible, showing up, turning up, paying an interest, getting involved, and encouraging others to do the same.
So just before we move on, just in terms of mentoring, you know, how important do you think mentoring is? Is that, and how do you do that? You know, how do you provide that mentoring so that, again, it creates impact?
So I do it in two ways. I have a reverse mentor, So we have a junior member in our team who meets with me on a regular basis. It's been really helpful for me to offload and sometimes vent and get feedback and coaching from her. And the reverse, you know, it's a very open conversation that we have, but it's been great to sort of share our experiences and help one another. So that's something that I do, and I know that various colleagues of mine do so too. And then also for those that have either requested it or for those that I've thought might help with some mentoring, just putting myself out there. We meet sort of every 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the cadence that works for individuals, maybe 30 minutes or 60 minutes at a time. Usually there's no formal agenda. It's kind of just going with the flow and really talking about whatever is topical at that point in time, you know, where I can help and vice versa. And it seems to be working really well.
Do you know what I love about that? You know, first of all, making yourself accessible. And I think that's really important. You know, sometimes people raise to the higher ranks in the organizations. They're the ones with the greatest experience. They're the ones that can move women forward, but they're inaccessible. So I love the fact that you're that kind of accessible role model, that accessible mentor, but also the fact the reverse mentoring, because it does enable one to look at things from a different perspective, be it a diverse perspective or a generational perspective. So yeah, some great stuff there. So Andrew,
talking about those early days and running those first coding courses, they were an initiative by one individual within the team, a woman who was really passionate, and she realized there was a real lack of other software developers who were women at the time, and she took it upon herself to initiate that initial coding course. She asked a few of us, so Jitin and myself, to sponsor it and be judges at one of the final sessions, where it was an 8-week on course. And women were learning skills and understanding how to do certain types of software development. And at the end, we ran a little competition to see which of the teams had developed the most innovative or interesting solution. And it was fun, right? It was actually a fun thing to do, seeing the ideas that came out, different ideas about software, the approaches taken, the ideas that were generated, and really seeing the difference it made to those individuals who previously would never have even thought about a career in technology. And then seeing that difference are made, and in fact, going on to then speak to those people through their careers, given that this was 4 or 5 years ago, seeing how those individuals have now progressed and flourished in their own careers and are now, whether employees with us or elsewhere, have really gone on to kind of have a fulfilling career in technology. And that for me has been a really neat story to see kind of that go from that point in time forward and really seeing the difference it made for those individuals who otherwise would probably never be in those careers today.
Yeah. And what you create through that, I mean, firstly, I love it, the fact that you've given people freedom to innovate, right? That's part of any culture that we want in any organization. But just, you know, seeing that creativity in the room and then seeing them move into tech, you know, definitely some best practice there for everyone else listening. So what words of wisdom would you offer to other senior male leaders? Because sometimes it may be, you know, they want to help, they want to be that ally, but they're not quite sure how to do it. So I'm going to start with James. So James, what are your thoughts on that?
I think the biggest words I can give to any sort of male ally out there is, you know, declare that you're a male ally and make it known. It's quite intimidating at first, and I don't want it to seem like we're shouting about it, but it really makes a difference when you declare that you're supporting, especially as a sort of a male ally in a leadership role, you know, that it's on your radar, it's important to you, it's important to your teams, because it really is, and it really makes change across the business, and it really supports our teams and makes us a better community. So yeah, I think the biggest word of wisdom I'd give to any other sort of male interested in getting involved is, you know, declare that you're of interest and you want to be part of it. I think the other sort of side of it is everyone's guilty of, and including myself, is just be mindful of your bias, be aware of what you're saying. I think maybe, you know, if we would have had this conversation 5 years ago, probably wouldn't have been aware of some of the stuff I was saying, some of the actions that I did, given the path I've taken and the way I've grown up. But now, you know, I do it every day. I'll say something, you know, guys and girls is something I always say because I was raised that kind of way. And now I'm like, I can't say that. It's team, right? We're a team. So it's just little things that just magnify. Being aware of your bias, and when that became, you know, a big part of PA's Women in Tech training in the last few years, it really was an eye-opener for me. So I encourage everyone to be involved in that.
I think that's really important what you say about vocalizing it, because also you have individuals that are working for you, guys that are working for you. And, you know, when you say it, it means something. And that's learnt behavior, isn't it?
Definitely is. The one that connects to that sort of bias and you know, declaring your male ally is, for me, is the position of leadership that you have in an organization. There are times when, you know, I've had examples where I've seen in my career bias from leadership, from male leaders, and not been confident enough to address it or raise concerns or point it out. And you know, I'm a bit more senior in my career now, so I can probably address it more. But there's definitely a hierarchical conversation to be had around how confident you are about raising these things. So that would be you know, another final word of wisdom: be confident and make sure you address these biases that we see every day.
I definitely think, I mean, we're all learning, right, at the moment. So as the world evolves and society evolves into a better place, we're all learning what's right or what's wrong. And, you know, even reflecting back, things that we might have said or done 5 or 10 years ago is not necessarily acceptable today. But I think from a leader's perspective, and obviously you all demonstrate this, being open to that learning, I think, is important.
Yeah, and I think it just ties it all up to be very mindful of the way we communicate and who we're communicating with. There are people in different stages of their career from different backgrounds, different experiences, and we've just got to be extra mindful of how we speak to everyone that we're involved in. You know, it's you know, I come from a computer science background, a very male dominated to what it is now in the industry. We've just got to be aware of where people have come from and their strengths and weaknesses and what their fears are.
I'd really second the being aware of unconscious bias. We've spoken a little bit here about reverse mentoring. And one of the things I've really learned from reverse mentoring and the approach of having a reverse mentor is I can ask the advice of someone who is perhaps earlier in their career within the firm and say, am I being unconsciously biased? It's a great way to find those sorts of things out in a safe and protected, knowing that there's not going to be any judgment in that reverse mentorship relationship, and being able to and willing to really ask the question, have I done something in the past year, 5 years, 10 years that would be unconsciously biased? And then the flip side of that is being willing as ourselves to also call out that unconscious bias that others may have fallen in, unwittingly fallen into that trap of saying something, doing something without even realizing it. And for me, it's about not being vindictive in that. You know, it's not being raised to somehow kind of just sort of pour scorn on the individual who said something inappropriate, but simply to erase and treat it with a bit of humility to say, well, none of us are perfect. We're all learning about each other and about the ways that we should be working with each other. And as never be vindictive about calling that out or be aggressive about it. Point it out and realize that if someone calls it out on you, that it shouldn't be something that you should pour as a personal attack.
Absolutely.
And just secondly, I mentioned fun earlier on about the coding courses. Male allyship should be fun. You know, it should be an enjoyable experience. We shouldn't sort of have it as sort of a burden we carry on our back, or we have to be male allies. It shouldn't be like that. It should be a good thing to be a male ally. We shouldn't be frightened about it. And actually really, you know, embrace the idea of being a male ally, you know, whether it's with women or other elements of diversity, ensuring that we're allies and allies because we enjoy it and we want to be, not because it's some sort of burden. So don't be frightened of male allyship.
Yeah, absolutely. And you lead on to a really good point. I mean, does allyship extend beyond gender? Surely we should all want to be allies to each other, right? Jitin, thoughts?
I think, yeah, absolutely. Of course, that's true. And obviously the challenge goes beyond just gender. You know, it's diversity as a whole, as we know. But what I would say is that there is clearly a gender gap in technology, and there has been for decades now. It's something that as leaders we've not solved for decades, and so we have to start somewhere, and that needs to be a priority for us. A bit like Andrew, I'm gonna tell a story, which is a friend of mine set up a coding club, a franchise in the UK not so long ago, and I asked my daughter, who's just 8 years old, if she wanted to participate and join this coding club. And her response to me at that age was, isn't coding for boys? You know, and I was firstly shocked by her response, but wanted to understand why she thought that, you know, and really sort of digs deeper, and there's preconceived views and things that have been, I think, drilled into children at such a young age.
Yeah.
And we have a job to demystify all of that. And the only way in which you're going to make a real impact is if we start when our children are young, and make sure that we put those things right. So agree, it extends way beyond gender, but we've got to start somewhere, and that needs to be a priority for us.
So I'm going to come to James, and then I also would like to kind of build in just quick Andrew's view. So James, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with Jitin there. We had to start somewhere. Just to sort of share my experience with it, 10 plus years ago when I was in computer science, as I mentioned, it was 100, scientists, and three of those were women. So, naturally, there was an issue back then, and it wasn't talked about. It wasn't really discussed. It was just guys going to do technology. It was a sort of strange one. I never even thought about it back then. And even to my sort of first consulting role before PA, the engineering teams male dominated. The actual engineers were male dominated. The female roles tended to fall into the design and delivery. And again, back then, I never really understood why. I never really addressed it until initiatives like this came along. So yes, it does extend beyond gender. We should all be allies, but it's so much part of our culture and has been for so many years that we've got to, now we're addressing it and we're starting somewhere. It has definitely changed. I was even at a party at the weekend and speaking to people there, and females getting involved in digital, all sorts of digital careers now is just increased dramatically. So I think we're on the right path, but there are still steps we can take to make it happen. And certainly at PA, the most successful teams I've worked with have been the most diverse. And there's definitely a strength in that.
Well, the interesting thing for me, and I'm going to just reflect this actually into be beyond our kind of corporate environment and thinking about those people that we work with. And my personal area of interest is in healthcare. I work a lot with doctors and nurses. I work a lot with patients and developing technology solutions for those sorts of individuals. And what's interesting is although the kind of the world of technology has always been very male dominated and also very, very white, the community at large is not does not have those sort of diverse characteristics. It is much more diverse. And so when you're designing technology products or digital products or solutions and pieces of software, you need to think about the fact that the users of those pieces of software will be doctors, nurses that come from all backgrounds. It will be patients who come from every single background in the world, and everything from the way people perceive skin color, being able to show diagrams and graphics about how a particular something will look on a skin color, or making sure that you are catering for men and women in the way that you design technology in a healthcare setting is really important. And so that's my kind of lived experience in a world of work. And I know that that's what the end users of the technology that I design are. And therefore, I know we have to be good allies in our day-to-day work, because otherwise we just won't even spot those situations. We'll continue to design technologies, design pieces of software that just don't cater for that diversity that exists out in the wider world.
Yeah. And we know that's the case. I mean, there was a book a couple of years back by Caroline Corrado Perez that looked at that exact thing, that crash test dummies are based on a man's body, defibrillators are based on men's vital signs, and the list is kind of endless. So you're quite right. We need that diversity of thought in the room if we're going to build products that are fit for everyone within our kind of communities and all of our clients. So moving on. So Claudia. Yeah. Talk to me about how allyship has benefited you in your career.
Yes, of course. So, say over my time at PA and also in pre-organizations, I think I've been generally very lucky to have been provided with a lot of development and strong opportunities from day one. And actually, upon reflection, I thought, well, most of my managers, assignment managers, line managers were actually male, but they were great at being ally to me. And then I thought, okay, but what actually did it mean? I think it's like a couple of things. First, they supported me, but also that meant actively talking me up in front of clients, prospective clients, in front of other colleagues. If I did something right, they would make sure they would shout about it. The second one, when they started correcting me when I was being over apologetic. Things like starting an email with a story, things like, oh, I'm so sorry if I take up too much of your time today. Usually all of my managers are very senior partners. I feel always very guilty when I ask them for a meeting. And they just told me, stop it. You know, you're doing an amazing job. You're here because you need to talk to me. You know, don't apologize. And I think for me, there was a huge realization, the fact that my other men colleagues, they were even more junior than me. They didn't do it. I was the only female in my team and I was the only one so apologetic about everything I did. The smaller mistake, I would just go on a rant about how sorry I was. And I think, you know, all the male allies that I had around me since day one actually made me stop that behavior. I think the third thing was the few times where I actually had something not to complain about, but something I wanted to raise their attention. A few times I felt like I was being maybe excluded, not by them, but by other clients. And a few times I was just paranoid about a couple of things. They never thought that I was just being annoying. They never thought, oh, yeah, she's being difficult. They always listened to me and they tried to really understood my perspective. And I think that made all the difference to me, that actually they listen and they try to understand me. And sometimes I would like, oh, we didn't think you could feel like that. We didn't think, you know, you could have thought that. But they accepted it and they actually maybe changed their behavior, made someone else change their behavior. And they took upon themselves my advice, my complaints and my considerations. So, yeah, I think absolutely all of the men that I had in my career, I think they all played a pivotal role in helping me getting where I am, by getting actively involved, by understanding my point of view, and just generally by supporting me and like mentoring me and making, you know, my career better.
But I love that, because there's so many tips in there, you know, for our gentlemen folk that are listening, around using their reputational capital, yeah, you know, to, you know, as you put it, like big you up in meetings and build your profile,
yeah,
and brand in rooms that you're not in. So that's, for me, that's an absolute key part of allyship. So that's wonderful. But then also giving you that constructive feedback, yep, around stop apologizing, because we hear it a lot from women, right? We start every conversation with, I'm sorry to take up some of your time. I even do it on emails sometimes, or I'm really sorry to bother you, but and you're quite right, it's a different behavior from men. So I mean, that's fantastic. Yep. As well, so it sounds like you've had lots of male allyships, and
yeah,
and there's most of you listening, you know, this is how it can benefit.
No, absolutely. I think there's actually a bit of an interesting story. Last year, I supported one of my managers writing a huge piece of thought leadership, and it was the partner sponsoring the initiative, and you know, then but his name was in it, and then the initiative actually was very successful, and he was a partner sponsoring it. He actually did most of the work on it, because you know, it was all from his brain, and I heavily supported him. And then this year, he started saying, oh, Claudia wrote the whole thing, which I don't think is true. I think, to be honest, we both did it together. But he was like, who doesn't, he was like, it doesn't matter. You know, I've already made my career, my success out of it. You know, now we just need to say that you wrote the whole thing. And then people, you know, will just think that, which is great. You know, like you're going to be promoted out of it, which I think it was such a powerful thing that he was like, and it was a bit his technique. It was like, it's not like faking till you make it, but just say you've done it, because in theory, you've done it. You shouldn't be too modest about it. And it was helping me not to be too modest about something.
But sometimes also we don't necessarily take the credit ourselves, yeah, because it feels like we're bragging or boasting. Yeah. But for somebody to actually elevate you and say that you've heavily contributed to that, yeah, piece of work, again, I think that is fantastic kind of leadership behavior and allyship that we need. So what initiatives have you implemented or going to implement at PA Consulting around allyships? It sounds like you're doing a great job individually, but how do we kind of scale it, more impact, make it bigger?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to talk a bit around our core Women in Tech offering and how we want to implement some male allyship initiatives in order to support women. And then I know that James also wants to add a few points around how male allyship initiative can support, yeah, men. So we have this amazing Women in Tech network at PA. There's like over 40 of us working on it. We're doing a lot of things in terms of mentoring, initiatives for women, coding courses, events, and so on. And I think it's been great. And then we run a very successful event for International Women's Day back in March. And everyone was talking about, you know, celebrating success, unconscious bias, and so on. And then someone said, this is brilliant, but there's like 90 people on this event, external and internal, and there's only 4 men. I was like, well, and James was one of those people, and we're like, well, actually, we need to do something more. And I think the first thing, which in turn I think it was for women, is every time that we organize an event, an initiative, we want to start actually looking at the participants to ensure a gender diverse representation. Because our events are very important for us to communicate our message, to shout about it, to educate people. But then we're like, actually, I think we're preaching to the choir if we're just a bunch of 86 women, you know, all educating ourselves around unconscious gender bias. We need men in the room because we have put on this amazing educational initiative, and we want to make sure that men contribute to the conversation, they say what they think, and then we all come out with some key takeaways that anyone can implement, and men have to play a big role. So absolutely, you know, like, we are going to start making sure that men are in the room. And the second one is we're going to provide tangible opportunities for men to support. So definitely we're going to bump up the number of men instructors in our coding courses, but also we are going to really push mentorship schemes whereby all of our male colleagues can be mentors. And then the last thing is we are trying to recruit a lot into the firm via our career changing program. And we really want to make sure that these new women land very well in the business. So actually, we've asked a lot of men around the company to help us out, come up with an engagement plan to make sure that these women land well, take on a line management opportunity to make sure that these new career changes land well once they get into PA. So really empower men with tangible things that they can do from day one to support women to make a difference. And I think because we give them tangible activities to do, we know that they're not going to disappoint us because they know what to do, they know how it's going to lead to a successful outcome, and that's a very easy way to ask them to support.
Yeah, I think the comeback thing, you know, obviously we mentioned it earlier on, there are 17% of women in tech in the UK and 16% globally.
Yeah,
it's a very, very small pool. So doing things like comeback programs where there's an opportunity for retraining is really important. But yep, what's most important is when those women land in the organization, yep, that they have the support they need.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like you're going great guns against that. So James, any final point on that?
Just on the event that Claudia mentioned where there was, you know, there was 90 people there and 4 of those were males. I happened to be one of them, you know, being one of the few males in a virtual room full of females was quite terrifying. So I completely understood that with that role reversal, that if, you know, women have been in that positions in environments where they're the only female, like, it that really hit home. And that event, the other thing that came out of that event and which will probably stick with me for a long, long time, was some of the people that I mentor spoke up about the benefits they had from having a male mentor. And honestly, it nearly brought me to tears. Like, some of the comments they said, I was like, wow, I can't believe the difference that I'm just making from having these conversations. So that was, yeah, just the story on that side. But in terms of what we're trying to do at PA in terms of supporting men in becoming more involved in male allyship. So it's taking that sort of initiative to have meetups to actively talk about scenarios and situations where we've become better male allies, you know, events that are targeting the men at PA to have these conversations. So we've got a couple of those in the work, because again, people, unconscious bias, people aren't aware of what these situations have unless we talk about the situations and our experience in it. So an environment to talk about it is coming soon. There's also, I think Andrew and Jim mentioned around the sort of unconscious bias, there's a lot of tangible training that we're now doing in this area to address it, to be aware of it. And then there were several sort of meetups and that coming later down the year. And I think finally, the one that we're trying to rattle on is the lead role, the tech directors of this world, that the leads, again, still very male dominated leadership in technology. And it's just doing a better job to bring up the next generation of leads and making sure there's a diverse mix of that, but also address what we can do as leaders to be more involved in this sort of initiative. So plenty going on. And that event back in March for International Women's Day was a real emotional one for me.
Well, I think you've kind of answered my questions around encouraging members of staff at PA to become allies, because you've got so much going on. I think it sounds like it's going to be absolutely everywhere. If I could ask a final question of you all, and again, it could be something that, you know, you alluded to earlier on, but if you had to leave our listeners with one piece of advice on allyship, be it to women, be it to any other kind of diversity strand, what would it be? And I'm going to start with Jitin.
For me, Vanessa, and it sounds obvious, but my advice would just be to start somewhere, you know, and the small things make a big difference. I'd like to think that all male leaders are well-intentioned. They, you know, we all recognize that there's a diversity challenge, but some might feel that they don't know where to start, how to get involved, what to do, you know, to make that first step. So I think we've all got to take collective ownership and accountability. Yeah, my advice would be start somewhere, start small. It might be just through mentoring one person. It might be going to one event. But once you do that and make that first step, it will spiral for sure.
Absolutely. And Claudia?
So for me, be really reflect about what male allyship means for you. And try to identify the people that have been allies and the people who have not been an ally. And then do not be scared to actually challenge those who are not being an ally. And I do not be scared to engage in that conversation. And if you are a bit scared, that's absolutely normal. And rely on your allies to help you have that conversation.
Fantastic. And Andrew?
I'm going to reiterate one of the points I made earlier, because I think it's really important. And that is don't be frightened, embrace it and enjoy it. Enjoy being an ally, because it is a great thing to do. And it can be incredibly enjoyable in terms of supporting others around you.
Fantastic. And last but not least, James.
Just to reiterate the sort of the power of mentorship. I think, you know, Jidda mentioned reverse mentoring, being a lead mentor or seeking for a mentor. I think there's elements to be gained in all parts of mentorship. And I think since, you know, we've been doing it here, it's been a great benefit to myself and many others involved. So look to be involved in whatever degree it is of mentorship.
Fantastic. There are so many nuggets within this conversation that I hope our listeners are taking away. If whether you're, you know, a male ally looking for guidance, there's plenty here that you can use to get started. I think the biggest thing that I'm hearing is we've got to start somewhere. And then also, if you're listening and you're thinking, I need a male ally in my organisation, then by all means, please do point them towards this podcast. Or I'm sure you can connect with anyone that's on here today. So thank you to all of you for joining me today on this episode of She Talks Tech for We Are Tech Women. If you want to find out more about any of our guest speakers today, you can connect with them on LinkedIn. To find out more about opportunities to work or engage with PA Consulting, please visit their website at paconsulting.com. And lastly, just thank you to every one of you listeners for joining us today. Please do give us that all-important 5-star rating. And remember to visit every single Wednesday for a new episode of She Talks Tech.